This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. Here's an opportunity for you to win some HTO right now. You can get some free iced tea on us here at Sports Daily and Odyssey. All you got to do is text the keyword T to 20357. That's T-E-A to 20357. That'll get you a free cup of tea. While you're in there, if you're looking for a way to show those teachers how much you love them, you can place an order. A lot of people have been doing this for some gallons to go to the teacher's lounge. It's Teacher and Nurse Appreciation Week. Teachers and nurses this week with their work ID badge can get buy one, get one free. Teas as well, but you can get a free one on us. Again, it's just T-E-A to 20357. Good luck, everybody. As we begin another hour of Sports Daily, Jalen Thompson will join us here in just a bit later in the hour to talk more about the Royals. We've been talking Josh Simmons and the Chiefs. He's going to dominate the headlines, I think, this offseason as far as the rookies go, Tommy, probably as far as anything goes, quite honestly. Because they brought everything else back, right? Like, we kind of know what to expect pretty much everywhere for the Chiefs. We know what they'll be doing pretty much everywhere, and we'll wait to see it. But of the new players, like, I think Simmons is the most impactful. Royals got a little run. Royals is the receiver they took out of Utah State. He got a little run as maybe a contributor, I think. For all the people that wanted the Chiefs to take a receiver, he could have an impact. I mean, to me, it's much smarter to take one there with a specific skill set, which seems to potentially back up Rashi Rice. But he'll get a little run, and then Breshard Smith is going to get some run too, Tommy, because that was the other spot. You'd heard the Chiefs might be ready to do a little something at running back there, and they go and they take a guy in the last round. They did trade up to get him, which means it tells you they like him. But I think he could contribute right away. Pacheco did as a seventh round pick, so why can't he?
Yeah, that's the biggest question mark that I've got going in, you know, outside of the Josh Simmons health conversation is, what is running back going to look like? Are you going to be effective having Pacheco and Hunt and Mitchell and Smith, like, as that being your running back room? And maybe they can be productive. We've seen Pacheco be productive throughout the course of his career when healthy. But is that going to be enough for Kansas City? That's going to be my major question going in to training camp and all of that offensively, is what do things look like running back wise. And we know Andy Reid doesn't always rarely leans on the running game at all. And so that may be another indication that they're not going to be doing a whole lot of running. I think Breshard Smith, his contributions will primarily be as a pass catcher out of the backfield, or even split out wide potentially. I think that's how they'll plan on using him. Whether or not he gets that kind of run in actual meaningful games, time will tell. But that's really where his, I think, value comes in.
Well, I'm fine with his value being a backup to Isaiah Pacheco, right? I would have been fine had they invested heavily in a running back that can be a contributor. I don't have a problem with that. Receiver bothered me more this year. But the reality is I'm fine with Pacheco. It's just, what do they do if Pacheco goes down again? It can't be Kareem Hunt. I like Hunt. I'm glad he's there. He did a great thing last year for them. He has no juice in that run game. They got to have a little juice in that run game. So Pacheco has the juice. I like Pacheco. For me, it's if and when he needs time because he's hurt or because you don't want to give him 20 carries a game, who can then spell him? And so I'm totally good with Breshard Smith.
Yeah, where's that juice coming from? Because, I mean, Breshard Smith, I think, has shown that he's one of, if not the best, pass-catching running backs that came out of the draft. And so I think that's where they envision utilizing him. I don't know if he's a quote-unquote juice guy out of the backfield necessarily. So if Pacheco goes down, I agree with you. Kareem Hunt doesn't have it. Elijah Mitchell probably doesn't have it. Does Breshard Smith have it? I think that's a pretty heavy burden to put on a rookie like that if Pacheco goes down with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe it's a good point. Maybe it's a combination of he and Kareem Hunt. I just don't have any hope for Elijah Mitchell right now. I mean, Elijah Mitchell has juice, I suppose, when he's out there. But he carried it. He averaged almost 6 yards a carry in the ACC, Tommy. I don't think that's insignificant. I mean, what is the math on 235 carries is what he had when he was full-time running back, because he'd played receiver a lot too, right? Yeah, I mean, he averaged almost 17 carries a game last year for them. His receiving numbers were fine, but it was only 327 yards on the year. He was used primarily as a runner last year for SMU. It was just the only time we'd seen him do that. But to me, it's like at that position, that's tread on the tires, right? He carried it a lot last year for SMU at a high clip. I'm trying to find his numbers when we talk about juice on, and it ain't going to come up soon. We'd have to look into it. Like, how often did he break one off? But if you're averaging almost 6 yards a carry, you're breaking some off. So I do think it's there. I think it's a seventh round pick, right? Like, can he handle between the tackles in the NFL? There's only one way to find out for the NFL. But Isaiah Pacheco kind of had the same questions. I don't know that Breshard Smith is as violent a runner as Isaiah Pacheco, but I think he can build on. I guess a good way to look at it is, what if he has back-to-back years like that at SMU? You think he's a seventh-round pick? He's probably not. I mean, he's a weird guy, because who was the guy out of Memphis that we saw this with the Commanders? Antonio Gibson. Wasn't Gibson the one that played a lot of receiver and then kind of converted toward the end of his career? Maybe it was a guy from Memphis. We've seen this before in the NFL. Is Breshard Smith ever going to be their 20 carry a game guy, like long term? I doubt it. But I think for what they need with Pacheco, he can give them that. I do. I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I didn't watch a ton of him play because I didn't watch a ton of SMU football games last year. But I don't have a problem with the fact that he only ran it 1 year essentially in college.
Do we feel like there is, you know, any scenario where they give Carson Steele another run? I mean, I know he's still on the roster. I know he played. I mean, he played kind of all over the place. He was a special teams contributor, you know, played some fullback, you know, even, you know, for Kansas City. I guess technically he's in the running back room as well. Yeah. Going into this season, I mean, they've got just like a variety of different guys to choose from behind Isaiah Pacheco. I wouldn't have nearly as many questions if Pacheco was more durable, if he was a more durable runner, then it would be like, yeah, I don't really care who's behind him in that running back room. It's fine. But we've just seen, history tells us, with the way that Pacheco runs, he's probably going to go down at some point during the season. That's where I start to have those concerns is, and what does it look like behind Pacheco?
And you know, I've been saying that for 2 years with Pacheco. I don't think Pacheco's going to get like a contract extension or anything, or they're just, you know, which is unfortunate and kind of sucks, but it is what it is. I don't know about Carson Steele. He got outmatched when the regular season got underway. Like, he looked so good in the preseason. He didn't look nearly as good in the regular season. I don't know. I think he could have a role. If I'm Carson Steele, I'm spending this entire offseason learning how to be the best blocker that I can be, both as a run blocker and as a blocker for Patrick Mahomes if I'm in the backfield. That's what I would do if I were Carson Steele. His style is reflective of Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think he has that second gear that Pacheco has. And that's what the run game really missed last year when Pacheco was out. And even once he came back, because I'm not 100% sure he was fully healthy. It's that break one off ability that, to me, keeps a defense honest. Like, yeah, Kareem Hunt, when it was short yardage, like, you could count on him to get a job done, and you could count on him in pass pro and all of those things. But what about when it's, you know, and Pacheco does this all the time. Like, what about turning a 5-yard gain into a 15-yard gain or a 25-yard gain? That, to me, is what keeps a defense a little more honest in what they have to have. So, and I don't think Carson Steele is going to give them that, by the way. But I think what Carson Steele can give them is, in an injury scenario for Pacheco, what if it was a backfield that combined, you know, his violent style with the Breshard Smith, who's a little more athletic. Like, I think it's, is it ideal? Like, could they have drafted a more complete back earlier in the draft? Sure, they could have. Like, yeah, they could have gotten a probably simpler answer, but they didn't want to emphasize that. They waited, right? They waited until the 7th round to do it. They traded up to get a guy, you know, they like him whenever teams trade up, but I didn't think it was as urgent as some of the noise we were hearing. I just think they need to be able to keep Pacheco to about 16 carries a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in an ideal world, you've got a healthy Isaiah Pacheco, who's your bell cow. Kareem Hunt can come in and spell him from time to time. And then with Breshard Smith, I mean, I feel like the expectation, at least, is that he kind of fills that Samaje Perine third down role, yeah, out of the backfield, catching passes, all of that, right? He's got to make the roster, absolutely. So I think that's kind of the way that they envision him. And then Elijah Mitchell is a pure wild card. So I think that's the way they want it to all sort of pan out. The question just becomes, Isaiah Pacheco gets hurt, what are you doing at that point?
Mitchell can help him in the return game too, which is significant. I mean, it is now. That's the other thing for the Chiefs, though. We can revisit that. We can go back to some of the sound. Jalen Thompson later in the hour. We come back. We have more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be here with you on a Monday, getting week started here. A little rain later in the week. Got some sunshine today. It was so nice to have a sunshine-filled weekend. Tommy, when should we be concerned? I would say Saturday and Sunday. I don't know what our highs got up to, but when it was about 72 and sunny, all I kept hearing was, it's hot outside. And I'm like, it's not. It's not yet.
Yeah, just like, wait.
I know. It's almost like this. Like, I love it so much, but it causes a temporary sense of dread. Like, I kept looking at the little temperature gauge on my watch. I'm like, it's only 70 degrees out here? Huh. That's interesting. What's it going to be like when it's 82? But I'll take it. And if I complain about the heat, slap me, because I'll take it 10 times over the cold. And I would need to put that out there. If you hear me start to complain about, because we love to complain about the weather, it's like, no, because the alternative is January. So deal with it. Go jump in a pond.
Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend. Took the boys to the park yesterday. Had a nice little picnic in the park. Went and played on the slides and the swings. And then took my oldest to the golf course on Saturday. By the way, we haven't mentioned this yet. We talked a little bit about Scottie Scheffler at the top of the show and how he ran over the competition in Dallas on the PGA Tour. Shout out to Sam Stevens, Wichita's own Sam Stevens. I think he finished third in that tournament.
Yeah.
And he was in the final group, I think, with Scheffler on Saturday. Still, that's a great paycheck for Sam Stevens. And it's tough when you're up against Scheffler, who's running over everybody. But a great showing from Wichita's own Sam Stevens in that tournament.
Love having he and Adam Hadwin to follow now, along with Gary Woodland and all the, that does make golf more fun. There's so much going right now. We talk about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We're everyday baseball people, you and I. Like, it is, it's not quite the same as during football season where everything is appointment television now. I mean, I treat maybe the Royals that way because I know we need to talk about them every day. But other than that, you're just kind of browsing, right? Like, everything's on, everything's going. And that's what, when we get to the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, makes those so much fun, is you can browse them, but the intensity is at such a different level especially in the NBA, in the postseason that it is in the regular season. So I'm pretty excited about the rest of the NBA playoffs. Now we're into this second round. We don't know who the champion's going to be. I love basketball when you get to that point, right? You don't know. Golden State is a 7 seed. I think absolutely has a chance with Jimmy Butler to win a title. Like it, that's Buddy Hield. How cool was it to see Buddy Hield, by the way, go off last night? Sunrise Christian. He was just such a fun college player. But it's all around and out there. Not a ton of headline-y stuff other than that. It's been, which is always interesting. It's more about the games here. But you mentioned this earlier, and I only bring this up because and maybe Jalen Thompson will be better in the next segment. The Rangers, when they fired their hitting coach, and you were kind of giving me a hard time, they also DFA'd a center fielder and sent a free agent acquisition from the offseason to AAA. So, like, you want to talk about, like, that, and I don't think the Royals are going to do any of that stuff, but it's interesting to see that level of intensity and desperation there now from a contender. And it, you know, that's the most aggressive a team has been yet thus far this year. I don't think the Royals were inching closer than that, but they haven't been that much better than the Rangers offensively. We saw MJ Melendez optioned. So that happened.
I think Hunter Renfro's probably next. I think that, you know, if and I know they need Hunter Renfro. I think they probably need to figure out what, you know, the replacement, I guess, is every day for Hunter Renfro. But I think DFAing him is probably what's next, I would imagine. He had an okay game yesterday. I mean, I think he was, what, 2 for 5 in yesterday's game. Had a really nice double down the line at one point in the game. So that was good. Got his average up to a whopping 160. You know, so better than MJ Melendez was for sure, but, you know, they've really limited his playing time. He hasn't been in the starting lineup much at all lately. He did get the start yesterday for sure. I mean, I would imagine if they're going to make another kind of move, that would probably be the next one.
I agree. I mean, that's where, like, if they called up Cags tomorrow, I think it would be at the expense of Hunter Renfro. I think he's kind of the next. He better have productive at bats when he gets his opportunities. We'll get with Jalen Thompson. I do think it's interesting to see that happen and then wonder, like, what, how aggressive would the Royals be here in some decisions like that to send messages? Here's a headline for you, Tommy. Did you see President Trump's been talking to Nick Saban? This was a couple of days ago. Apparently. And this is an interesting strategy from Saban. He's kind of been in his ear. I guess the president was on Alabama's. He was in Tuscaloosa for Alabama's something, commencement address. Is it that time of year? I guess it is that time of year. And so Saban talked to him and basically kind of laid out some of the troubles right now that old guys like him have with NIL. And I think it was the Wall Street Journal that had this, is like, it's more about reform than elimination. But as we wait, and we all kind of know now, it's going to take congressional intervention here to come up with sweeping guidelines that, you know, line up for every team. It's going to have to be like a federal law. It can't just be state by state. They've kind of tried that. It's weird. It's confusing. But Congress doesn't appear to have an appetite to do any of that. I think probably while these court cases are out, we have a president that'll do anything to be popular, right? I don't know. I'm not even like kidding. Like I could, you know, executive actions have never been higher in some of these things. This is what's always been fascinating as politics and the NCAA stuff have slammed together. People are pretty aligned in what they would like to see. So it's such a political win for Congress or whoever to figure this out a little bit. And now you've got this president who in his term is like trying to do these things through executive orders that people kind of want to be done, or at least some people. Everybody wants NIL reform. Everybody wants portal reform. Just said, don't like when we're all looking for political footballs, I say we, when politicians are all looking for political footballs, I think that's kind of interesting to hear that he's been in his ear a little bit.
Well, and the problem that we're going to run into from a congressional point of view is that gridlock is always the, you know, the biggest thing. It takes forever to get things done. And, right. you know, that's the bottom line is that, like, they can never get out of their own way, you know, to make big things happen. The only reason I smile is because I could absolutely see that becoming a major priority from this president and this administration when there are so many other things that are, like, more important than that. But that, like, they take up the mantle, you know, and that becomes the biggest thing that they're going to try to push forward. I could absolutely see that that happening.
And again, like, we will never give you, like, political opinions on this stuff. We're not that into it. But I think, like, as a curious observer, you have a president that wants to do things very fast, right? We've seen that. You have a president that loves to be popular and liked, right? Like, we've seen that not just in a presidency, but an entire lifetime and career. You have one that's prone to use a political method through executive actions to do things quickly. And you have a president that loves distractions, right? Like, hey, look over here. All of those things. Like,
don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about, you know, all the, you know, don't worry about any of that. Don't look over there. Look at this.
Fixing the economy is as, hey, look at this thing. Start fixing college football, I should say. Is as, hey, look at this thing, or college athletics, as you could probably possibly find that goes across. Like, what if, and I think, look, I think Nick Saban probably has a good feel for the problems that this creates for the sport, even though I do think there's kind of a crybaby mentality to some degree. Like, Alabama has been able to get all the players that they've wanted through various methods for a long time. And it's not just them, it's everybody. But also understand and be very, because he is so whip smart and good at what he's done forever, to sort of lay out, but here's why this is actually concerning and hard to deal with. Like, what if you had those guys? Like, what if it's Saban? Tuberville, of course, used to be a coach. And I'm not talking about it. I don't care about politics. I'm talking about him being a former coach. What if some of these guys got together and got with the president and like, yo, here's what we think could actually help. And him just be like, all right, well, let's just do it then. Here's an executive order. And because who in Congress is going to step out and be like, no, you can't do that. If it could be such a political nightmare for them to go against a possible solution to all this. I'm just saying.
Well, I think the question then that comes to my mind is, would that executive order satisfy whatever the NCAA is wanting to have in place? Because, like, that's honestly, like, I think we could all agree.
The NCAA wants or doesn't want anything. I think they want their court battles to be done. I think
the NCAA, this would have been done years ago if the NCAA wouldn't have gotten out of the way. Would have gotten out of the way. Like, if they wouldn't have fought tooth and nail against this for so long, this would have been done and settled then. And so the NCAA has proven to be a pretty substantial roadblock in this entire endeavor. For even going back all the way down to the beginning, at the very beginning of it, they proved to be such a major roadblock, and they've been drug along kicking and screaming. It's taken court orders to get them and lawsuits to get them to this point. And so will whatever that executive order ends up being, will that satisfy the NCAA, or will they start kicking and screaming again?
I think it's a little different. So I think I totally agree that the NCAA created all of this mess by its resistance. Totally agree. I honestly don't know how much I think they're going to have to do with the solution. I don't think it's going to be much one way or the other, because I think all they can do right now is deal with one court case after another, after another, after another. Like, they're so buried in that. I don't think they're going to be now they may be a part of the enforcement of the solution still, but as far as whatever the solution is, man, I don't think it's going to be them. I think it's going to be the schools. And the NCAA is supposed to be a representative arm of the schools, but I think it's going to be the leagues. I think it's going to be Congress having to say, listen, here's how this is going to work in this country. The law says that XYZ. Okay. The law says that conferences can govern, you know, how much this, that, or the other takes place. And we see that, right? The federal government gives, or, you know, maybe not gives is not the right word, but like there are state laws, right? And then they sort of weave together. But this overall framework, I think, is going to, it will take laws that, because unless, until you have laws, like you're going to have all these court challenges until it's clearly laid out. So if, for instance, President Trump says, all right, you got, we're going to have an executive order. And if you're going to play and get paid, you have to, you know, you have to serve this much time. You have to be under contract. We have to contract these players as like, if it's something like that, and it was, but it was universally kind of agreed to by the masses. I think it's not a bad avenue if you're Nick Saban to try and fix it. Like yeah, that, well, that'd be pretty good.
The thing you have to understand too about Nick Saban is that he's been a vocal critic of anything NIL for a long time. And I know yeah. that allegedly he was pitching reform and not elimination to the president. He's been a fan of elimination since day one. And then that's unlikely.
System.
That's unlikely yeah. to happen. But I thought this was interesting. So one of the lead lawyers in the antitrust case going on right now, his name is Steve Berman. He made a statement to USA Today about this proposed executive order. And he said, and I quote, "The president says he is the greatest business person ever. Why would he do anything to limit the business deals students are negotiating for their NIL? He has been a benefit of the free market. Why not these He's young not athletes? As for Saban, what a hypocrite. He's been an opponent of NIL from the start while he made tens of millions off the backs of these athletes." Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting that you've got...
The president wouldn't do that. I don't think you, the president that is very, you know, looking to be popular would not do that because that would be very unpopular. It's a very small group of people.
You think so? I mean, because I think the, a lot of folks that are the loudest, I mean, think of the comments that we get on this program.
The only comments we get on
this, the only comments we get on this program are about people saying they don't like the fact that athletes are making money.
No, I think it's more about the portal. I think it's more about the portal than the compensation. I don't think there are very many people that don't think athletes should be compensated anymore. It's the portal. Now, people might be jealous of how much they're making, but people are jealous of how much movie stars are making, coaches, like they don't like that. I think the issue that college sports faces at the moment, that comes from the transfer portal, right? Like, I think if, what's a good example of that? If, what's the Tennessee quarterback? If he's going through this, like the issue is that he was trying to like drive him more in sort of this forced free agency. But if he was under some sort of contract with Tennessee, I don't think anybody would have an issue with the contract being big. Did anybody have a problem with Cooper Flagg? Cause I think he set the record, right? He's had the biggest deal. No. What if Cooper Flagg transferred to North Carolina next year? That's where people would have the issue, I think. So Saban may want a specific thing. I don't think Saban wants athletes to not earn. I don't think that's his problem either. I think it's the Wild West. It's the lies that are being told to kids. It's the involvement of people who are eliminating any sort of loyalty involved. I think that's where people have issues. I think if the president just simply came out and said, look, these athletes, schools figured out they're going under contract, but in that contract, you can say they can't transfer. Like that would probably appease a lot of people. You can earn, you just can't transfer if you're under contract. Pretty simple. We all have work contracts, right? It's not simple from the school standpoint because they got to figure out insurance. They got to figure out all that stuff. But the president doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if it's simple on the schools. He just wants to try to solve the problem and make everybody happy. It's worth watching. I think it's worth watching. I mean, there's 3.5 more years of a presidency for him to, you know, take something that is pretty universally cared about by people. And I think most people want the same. So correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. I think it's more of an issue with the transfer portal than it is how much specifically players can earn. I don't think there's anything wrong
with the free market. Driving the transfer portal, the amount of NIL dollars that are available out there is driving the transfer portal.
Right, the promise of it, but it wouldn't matter if players were under contract. right? Like, it wouldn't matter if there was some loyalty. And that's where the NCAA has lost all of this, because at, you know, what they used to be able to enforce at minimum was you got to sit out a year and you got to. But the problem is none of that stuff makes a lot of sense because there's nothing binding to enforce it, right? There's no, a scholarship's not binding. All the other students on campus can walk away from a scholarship anytime they want.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That insider is Jalen Thompson, KC Star, Royals reporter. Glad to be here with you. We shifted Jalen up from his regular Friday visit to today. Glad to have you, Jalen. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're ready to start a week with no days off in baseball, which are my favorite kinds of weeks in baseball. Days off bother me. I'm sure you enjoy them. Because it means you get days off. But not the Royals. Not this week, Jalen. We were discussing this in the first hour, and I'm curious to get your take on it. Are you like, what are you? We'll just take the Baltimore series, and you can take the Tampa series too if you want. They kind of mirror each other. You have two games in the Tampa series where they score only three runs, and then an eight run, and then in the Baltimore series you have them getting blanked, scoring four runs, but then scoring 11 runs. Are we seeing the trends to consistent offense here, do you think, or should we still be plenty concerned about the games where they're not scoring, you know, and four of six of those games where they're not scoring enough runs?
I think you have to kind of look at it two ways. The first way, Sunday's game, the ball was flying out. When you hit it in the air, the left field, it was going to go out. And you saw that where from the fifth inning on, all of those home runs were going to left center field. That's where they were landing. The wind was just, it was just flying out there. So you have to take that into consideration when I kind of compare the two. But I will say that the offense is rounding its way into form. I won't say that it's there yet, but there have been great encouraging signs. Vinny Pasquantino hitting three home runs in his last five games, I think that is a super important step. We talked to him, and he said that if I'm going to hit third in this lineup, I have to be more productive. I have to produce. Those were his words. So I think that you're going to see him continuing to get his average up. The numbers are there. He leads the team in home runs and RBIs. I think Michael Garcia is the real deal. You're seeing it each and every day that he steps onto that field. He looks like the guy that everyone kind of envisioned when he went to Venezuela during the Winter League and he dominated over there. I think those two players are going to be really great for the Royals, him and Vinny. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez have to play at the level that they're capable of playing at, and we know what they're going to be. They're going to be there at the end. So, like I said last week, they need four or five guys to really make this lineup be productive, and I think that they have identified those four guys. The question is, who's going to be the fifth one? Is it going to be Jonathan India? Is it going to be Michael Massey? Someone has to come along with them for this team to go where they want to go.
Let's talk about Michael Garcia a little bit more, Jalen. You know, he had two home runs in the game yesterday. I think everybody kind of realized that he was going to be an offensive threat for this team, but maybe not necessarily hit for power quite as much as we've seen from him early on in this season. Have you been surprised at all by just the overall production from him and how important he's been in this lineup?
I was initially surprised. I will say that, because if you look at what he did last year, he was batting eighth in the lineup. I mean, he was barely hitting over 200. And this was late in the season. There were games down the stretch where the Royals just did not start him because he just wasn't producing offensively. He would come in as a defensive replacement and things of that nature. But to see him be able to bat fourth and bat fifth in this lineup and be a consistent run producer, as much as we love the home runs and what he did last night against the Orioles, he had a bat where he moved the runner over. And if you talk to everyone in that clubhouse, they basically said that was one of his best at bats of the game. He moved the runner over. He kept the line moving. So he does the little things. And I think that a lot of that goes to, and I asked him, he said, it's the toe tap that I added to my batting stance this year. It allowed him to have more balance, more contact. He's not missing fastballs. He said the leg kick last year kept him from hitting those fastballs, and now he's not getting beat by those. And I think you're seeing a different Michael Garcia. Those two home runs he hit, he smoked both of those baseballs.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch. I think fun is a good way to get on bases. He's not any candidate to move down. We also hit on this a little bit. The Rangers have come through and they've fired a coach. They've optioned a free agent acquisition. They sent down a longtime guy. The Royals have, you know, with MJ Melendez moved down the line. How much patience do you think this front office has to let the offense figure it out versus we've got to make some changes because our expectations are too high for this?
Yeah, I think the expectations are really put on by the fan base. I think the fan base really wants the team to like soar and, you know, fly high in World Series. And don't get me wrong, the Royals want to do all that too. But you got to put it in perspective. They won 86 games last year. And remember, they won 56 the year before that. So in the Royals' perspective, they want to win the AL Central. And I think they are in a really good spot because they have arguably probably the best pitching staff in the American League. I mean, Detroit's right there as well. And the offense is starting to come around. So I think combine those two things together, and it's starting to get warmer. And we all know that when it gets warmer in Kansas City and, of course, anywhere in the Midwest, the ball will start flying. And I think you'll start seeing more of the consistent offense that the Royals want to see. So I really think that this Royals team, they want to make the postseason, get over the hump, but I don't think they're putting extra pressure on themselves where they have to make a rash decision where they have to go and say, all right, offense is not hitting right now. Go get Jack Caglione, put him in the lineup. They're not doing that. They are confident in what they have and what they built, and they know that their pitching is going to carry them on days when the offense is struggling, which we've seen this season.
Let's talk a little bit about just the way that the overall top-to-bottom lineup, for the most part, delivered in yesterday's game. I know that you had mentioned, like, the ball was flying out of the ballpark. There were so many home runs for both teams, you know, honestly, in the game yesterday. But it was good to see guys that had really been struggling to break out a little bit be able to do so. Jonathan India gets his first home run of the year. Michael Massey gets his first home run of the year. Even Luke Maley in his first game for the Royals gets a home run as Kansas City is now carrying three catchers on their roster. Some of these guys that you mentioned before, like, are we going to see them contribute and break out? At least they did that in the game yesterday.
Yes, and I think the most important home runs of that whole game was Michael Massey and Jonathan India. They had to see the ball go over the fence to, you know, really settle in and get that kind of target, get that chip off their back. It was weighing them down. Jonathan India is funny. He hit his ball. He raced around first base because he thought it was going to be a double. He didn't know it was going to go over the fence. So he got to second base and he was like, oh, I can jog. And so it's cool that he detailed it because he's been coming close all year. His first game with the Royals, he had two balls that would have been home runs in Great American Ballpark, but he was playing at Kauffman Stadium. He said a lot of balls that have landed on the warning track and it just hasn't gone out. So for him to finally get one, I think that will help him tremendously. And I think for Michael Massey, he's been fighting it all year long. And he finally has put together a couple of nice productive at-bats against the Orioles. And to see one go out for him, I think that's going to help him finally get his confidence back a little bit. And you know, continue. He's been working. I mean, yeah. We talked to him. He said he's worked on angles and tilt and tipping the bat and trying to figure out the best way to get his swing right. So I think those were super key for the Royals because they need both of those guys to be successful this year.
I don't think there's a Royals fan alive that doesn't really want Michael Massey to be good. Like, everybody likes Michael Massey, so it is good to see. Jalen Thompson, KC Star beat reporter, one more for me, Jalen. So we look at a week here. It's all at home. It's the White Sox and the Red Sox. Before that, these last four against the White Sox, so we kind of coming out of that really bad stretch, we identified these 16 games as a chance for the Royals to get back to 500. Unless it's a disaster in Chicago, they're going to do, or against Chicago, I should say, at Kauffman, they're going to do that. What do you want to see here? Are you satisfied if they split it and have a great 16 game stretch, or do you want to twist the knife a little bit and make it 3 or 4 out of 4?
I think they can get 3 out of 4 against the White Sox. I really do. They play really well at home, and they're riding confidence right now. And you look at what the offense has done. Yes, they had 7 home runs, but regardless if you hit those home runs at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, Kauffman Stadium, you hit them on the moon, you hit them in the stratosphere, they all count as home runs. And for guys like that, just to be able to say that I can still do this at a high level when you've been struggling, I think that's just going to create momentum that you can carry on for. So I think they could take 3 out of 4 from the White Sox. They have the top of the rotation going. The White Sox are going to face the Royals' 4 best pitchers. You got Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Chris Bubich. I really think that if they produce like they've done all year, they can get 3 out of 4 and possibly sweep. So, I mean, Kauffman's going to be rocking. I think that this is the time where the Royals dig in and they go for it. April was tough. They all acknowledge it, but the way they've been looking, winning, is it 11 out of 13 since they came back off that road trip? I mean, they're hot right now.
Well, call it. Just call the sweep, Jalen. Give us a guarantee. Let's do it.
Yeah, I wish I could. But, you know, I can't discredit the White Sox. The White Sox are scrappy this year.
Yeah, they got good starting pitching. How about this? Yeah. 20 runs over the 4 games. Can we get 20 runs over the 4 games? Is that fair?
Yeah, they hit home runs like they did yesterday. Yeah,
they hit home runs at Kauffman like they did yesterday. But hey, 20 runs, 4 games, 5 runs apiece. That's too much to ask against the White Sox. I don't think it is. 20 runs. Jalen, go find all of his work at the KC Star. You can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson. We appreciate it. Thanks for shifting around for us this week, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you guys so much. See you guys later.
There goes Jalen Thompson. All right, it's a fun day on Sports Daily. Coming up tonight on KFH, you have the Brian Green Show for Wichita State Baseball. That's at 6 o'clock. Shockers with a nice series win over East Carolina. Good to see. Maybe they'll pick up a little steam down the home stretch. Thanks to everybody for being with us this morning. Thanks to Jalen Thompson for stopping by. Thanks to Max. Thanks to Tommy. I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.